This is a reading from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 8. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that is granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that, as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking unto you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. Our second reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 41 through 45. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
If we are to be honest, and what better place to be honest than in church, there are many of Jesus' teachings that can be hard to take or hard to put into practice. And our gospel reading from Mark has one of those difficult passages. For those of us who love to be chosen first when teams are being picked, or to the first table to be called up at a, you know, church supper buffet, or first in line to receive a promotion or desire to finish first in a contest, the words of Jesus today turn our natural instincts and habits upside down. Whoever wants to be first, Jesus teaches, must be last of all and servant of all. We have been taught in church since we were little children that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and yet, let's face it, our emotions and our actions would suggest that we really believe it is more blessed to receive than to give. You must be last. You must be glad to give. I'm sure the early disciples were half-hearted and lukewarm in their first response to these teachings of Jesus. It can be hard to follow them. But let me tell you about a church which really and truly was thankful for the word of God and did their best to put it into practice. They enjoyed the challenging words as well as the comforting words, the difficult passages as well as the easier passages. And actually, it wasn't just one church we hear in Paul's letter to Corinth today, but several churches located in Macedonia, which was a region to the north of Greece proper in the Mediterranean world, because these churches apparently got it. They were sure about their gratitude for God's word and confident in the grace of their Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is only too excited to tell their story when writing to the church in Corinth. Paul wanted to share the good news about the Macedonian church, about their lively faith and exceptionally kind practice. Paul writes, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For I can testify that they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." So let's unpack that a little bit. What's going on here is Paul has been seeking to take up an offering in the churches he's been contacting to help the church in Jerusalem, in effect, the mother church of the Christian movement. Under Roman rule, it was being squeezed. Jewish authorities weren't welcoming to Christians. And it was hard for the Christians in Jerusalem to keep going. So Paul is asking these Gentile Christians in the Mediterranean world to aid the Jewish Christians. And this is the first reason why the extraordinary interest of the Macedonian churches to contribute to this special offering is so amazing. For years, Gentiles or other non-Jews were discriminated against and excluded by Jews proper. Jewish Christians opened themselves to the entry of Gentile Christians. And even then, the Gentile Christians in Macedonia didn't just reluctantly or begrudgingly participate in this offering. They begged and pleaded for the tremendous opportunity, Paul tells us, to do so. In a way, it's as if Republicans gladly contributed to the Democratic Party or Democrats joyfully supported Republican candidates. As Paul says, this is not merely as we expected. There's such an outpouring of generosity under whatever the circumstances, those in the first century despised and rejected in Macedonia or those in the 21st century polarized and highly partisan America, it's not what we would expect. There's more. Paul tells us that not only did the Macedonians give generously, they did so when they were undergoing and experiencing their own ordeal of affliction. They were experiencing the harshest realities of being a colony of the Roman Empire, taxed into poverty, brutally punished when any kind of protest arose. And each of us knows from personal experience, don't we, that when someone is suffering or in a time of affliction, it's rarely the time when hearts and pocketbooks are generously open to the needs of others. So there you have it. Even in the midst of prejudice and discrimination from the Jews, even under the foot of Rome's oppressive empire, even though they faced extreme poverty, even then, the Macedonian Christians begged to give to this special offering as they contributed to the needs of the Mother Church in Jerusalem with an outpouring and wealth of generosity. Were we in the identical shoes of the Macedonian Christians? I think we know how most of us would respond, or at least be tempted to respond. And it probably wouldn't be at first with a heartfelt, "Thanks be to God, I can give to someone else." So what was it that caused this Christ-like response, this willingness to set aside their own human and expected needs to be the first or the greatest, or to be served and to do the very thing which was not expected, even by Paul? Paul tells us that before the Macedonian Christians felt free to give in this way, they had received. They received the grace of Christ poured into their lives. It was the grace of God granted to them, which warmed their hearts and opened their eyes, changing their fundamental thought processes and their predictable behavior into something altogether new and transformational. With the Macedonian churches, there have been no fancy stewardship campaigns, no arm twisting, no every member canvas, no elaborate PowerPoint presentations. There was no pressure whatsoever placed upon them by Paul. He just said, the church where it all began, where the apostles walked with Jesus and preached the gospel and spread the good news, which had now reached the Macedonian towns and changed their lives, given them a new and living hope in Jesus Christ. This is the church that is now in need. Macedonian Christians understood and fervently believed that they could not afford not to give of themselves from whatever their blessings were. And as limited as their earthly blessings were at that time, unlimited was the grace of God, and abundant was their faith and love. In their eyes and from their faith perspective, they saw that generosity was affordable. It was something to be desired, something to be gratefully expressed in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in utmost eagerness, in love for others. So they excelled in this generous undertaking. That's a kind of response churches love to see, because it marks the presence and movement of the Spirit of Christ through the people. On this Stewardship Dedication Sunday, it's a type of response and the movement of Christ among people that we hope to see. For we are more than members of an organization, more than members of a business who asks first, can we afford this? We are disciples of Christ. We are servants of the Lord. We understand and accept that in the kingdom of God, the first shall be last and servant of all. The first shall be last. Just as a side note, I've always wondered if everybody who's named their church First Church really paid attention to this verse in the Bible. We are servants of the Lord. As a Presbyterian church, this Presbyterian church, God calls us to show forth and exhibit the kingdom of God to the world. We're called to live and embrace the still better way of love. Not because we have to, but because we truly and sincerely want to. This, my friends, is the only greatness that will matter to our Lord. a greatness which will change not only our lives, but also the life of this world, one in one affordable, life-saving act of generosity at a time. There is an affordability to generosity. Amen.